7:33 at your hometown station, Coho 101, Coho Morning Show, striding along through hour two. This hour brought to you by Stan's Merry Mart. We're with you on Tuesday, the 27th of July. Very pleased to have 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins in studio with us today. Brad's with us on the final Tuesday of every month in-house, talking to us about all things happening right here in District 12. And today we're going to talk about wildfire, law enforcement, and if we have time, a little bit of school board news as well. And Brad, it's always good to see you. How are you?
Hey, doing good, Chris. And by the way, let's talk Mariners.
Yeah, I figured you'd want to weigh in on this.
My favorite, of course, is Ken Griffey Jr. Growing up in those days. But, you know, I have fond memories of Randy Johnson coming off the mound in the bullpen in the playoffs, and Lou Piniella throwing bases around and those sort of things. So, but I guess one of my favorites is Ichiro. And I guess that has some connection to the legislature, because I kind of think of myself as the Ichiro of the legislature. I don't swing for the fences all the time with these, you know, grand salamis and all these things, but I try to think of myself as a solid base hitter, and I have a good batting average when it comes to that.
Yeah, well, you're an effective Punch and Judy for us here, I guess, as that's what Pete Rose was dubbed as, was a Punch and Judy hitter, they used to call him. If you couldn't hit it over the fence too often, but you were very effective, that's kind of the term.
Well, so, if you swing for the fences a lot, you know, like Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, you hit those, but you also strike out. But, you know, base hits are a good thing, too, and those should be celebrated.
I
so
should
go Ichiro.
I should investigate the history of the term Punch and Judy. I don't know that one. I know a lot of baseball vernacular where it comes from. That one I don't know. So I'll look that one up, and we'll chew on that one. But we'll put down a vote for both, for State Senator Brad Hawkins, who's in-house with us today. Brad, let's talk about wildfire, because obviously it's top of mind right now. We've got smoke drifting in the region from, fortunately, fires that are not right in our neck of the woods. Like the one that we had with the Red Apple fire here recently. But obviously we had that one, the Batterman fire. So fire season is here. It's arrived early. I had Commissioner of Public Lands, Hillary Franz, in studio last week. And you know, she just flat out told me, starting the interview, that she feels this is going to be the worst fire season we've ever seen, not only in Washington State, but around the United States as well. So, you know, it's bad out there, and it's getting worse. These are things that I would imagine in your position, Ichiro or otherwise, in the state Senate, it's got to be frustrating, because there's only so much that you can do related to funding and related to mitigations of an administrative variety. But, you know, I guess just talk to us in general, Brad, about your thoughts on the wildfire and season, and also about what was passed in the legislature that's at least aiding things this year as far as monetarily speaking is concerned.
Yeah, big issues. And it's something that I've been working with for many years as a legislator. You know, when I served in the House, we had back-to-back summers of the state's largest wildfires, with the Carlton Complex fire and the Okanagan Complex. And unfortunately, the situation with our forest management practices over the past several decades, both state and federally, have not been advantageous. And now we're seeing some adverse effects of that. And unfortunately, it's going to take a long time for us to get ahead of this. But it is something that we have been working on at the state level. I passed a bill in 2017 in partnership with Commissioner France. She's been great to work with. The state has invested significantly more, both on firefighting efforts as well as on the front end, long-term strategic thinning. But there's a lot of work that needs to be done in terms of the thinning aspects of our forest management practices. Also, you know, if we can get some a timber mill to kind of be able to process some small diameter trees, you know, that would be helpful. I was involved in an effort this past session to help fund a demonstration project in the Medhow Valley, which I think can be helpful. But unfortunately, it's probably something that has taken several years to get ourselves into the situation, and is going to take several years to pull ourselves out of the situation. When it comes to the firefighting issues, you know, we need to boost our air assets, which we did do this past legislative session. We did significantly increase the funding for wildfire response, so we can put out the fire soon after they start, rather than just getting into a situation where we're managing them once they get burning. But if we can continue to also invest on the front end with the long-term forest health efforts, you know, treating the landscapes, you know, clearing out the underbrush, adding some prescribed fire, I think in the long run, we might be able to get ahead of it save our forest, not emit the carbon in the air from the wildfires, and also create some jobs in the process. And, you know, that would be helpful.
Yeah, that demonstrative project that you mentioned, Brad, is actually something called biochar. And you were talking to me a little bit about it before we jumped on air here. Tell us more about that specific project.
Yeah, it's very interesting. So it's headed up by Tom and Gina McCoy in the Mehow Valley. They have a 501c3 nonprofit known as Forest to Farm. And what they have an interest in doing is utilizing the excess woody debris or biomass that is cleared out of the forest during the, as a result of these forest management practices, and then creating this charcoal-like substance known as biochar. And I know it sounds kind of weird, but they do that. They create the substance without actually burning it. And then that substance can be used as to be spread inside soils to boost some opportunities for agriculture and improve soil opportunities. But then also it has the effect of sequestering the carbon, because instead of the woody biomass being burned like it is now with the Cedar Creek fires and the Cub Creek fires that I know Coho's reported on, but then it can actually be utilized for, you know, that carbon can be sequestered and not burned, and then and have some both some environmental benefits and some economic benefits by creating jobs. So we funded this demonstration project for a couple years at the state level, and it's something that I actually learned originally. The folks brought to me in 2019 during a listening tour, and I'm really thankful that we got that funded, and then hopefully that will prove out to be beneficial, and then maybe that's another tool in the toolbox that the state could use to help reduce our risk of catastrophic wildfire over time.
Yeah. Brad, this might be a better question, maybe a better conversation even for our representatives in Congress, Kim Schreier and others here within the district, but I wonder about federal firefighting funding, because it just seems to me one of the things I know when I began reporting and began reporting on the subject of wildfires that was extremely distressing to me and also was news to me was the fact that, you know, so much surplus equipment is purchased by the fire districts and fire departments all across the western U.S. and elsewhere. Places are literally that need air resources in particular are literally piecing together helicopters, old Bell helicopters, right, or other kinds of aircraft that were decommissioned by one U.S. agency after another decades and decades ago. I mean, So they really are running, I hate to say on scrap, but it's pretty close to that in some ways when you'd think that we would have brand new gleaming resources sitting on runways everywhere. That is not the case. So do we need more of an infusion, in your opinion, from the federal level to help fight these conflagrations as they become in the western U.S.? Because, I mean, Idaho alone has 28 wildfires burning right now. That's second only to California's 29. It's
Colorado's
really bad.
Colorado's been really bad. You know, and it's not just the United States. British Columbia's had a lot of challenges. So I think there's been a significant shift in an acknowledgement of, you know, these past forest practices over decades. And the U.S. Forest Service needs to be a critical partner, because we have so much federal land here in North Central Washington in addition to state-owned land. So there's only so much that the state can do in terms of, you know, forest management practices. We do need the federal government to be a willing partner. Congresswoman Schreier has shown a tremendous leadership in this space too. So I think people are working on that. There's this constant issue at the federal level regarding fire borrowing. So they're using a lot of the money for firefighting that they could have put into forest management practices at the federal level. And honestly, we really need to do both, or we're never going to get ahead of it. We need to obviously work on the fire suppression, fire response, while also the forest health efforts long term, so we can create the jobs, improve our forests, and then like bend the curve so we can actually get ahead of it, or else we're just going to be putting all the money towards, you know, reimbursement of firefighting costs. And the air assets are a big deal. And that's one of the reasons why Commissioner France, I know, was pushing so hard for the DNR to improve their air assets. And the state did fund that, because we're in competition for other states for their air assets. It used to be, oh, we have a fire here, you know, we can borrow from the feds and come up from California. Maybe British Columbia loans us. But it's getting more, there's more competition for those air resources. So we kind of need our own in the state of Washington. And you know, we're making efforts in that regard, because you know, and I know you referenced it as a fire season, and I kind of say that sometimes too, but it's really a fire year. The fires are starting much earlier. They're going later. We had the fires last September when we thought we were sort of past the hottest part of the summer. You mentioned the report about the fire that kind of smoldered and kept, you know, started burning again. So yeah, there are some unique situations on the landscape, and we need to really acknowledge this as a fire year. It's not just something for Central and Eastern Washington, something that affects all of Washington State. And certainly when there's wildfire smoke in the air, you know, it compromises everybody's opportunities to be outside. It impacts the tourism economy that we have in North Central Washington, Leavenworth, Chelan, Methow Valley. So it's a big deal. It's a big deal to everyone. I think we're all kind of putting our full efforts towards it, and hopefully in the next several years we'll start seeing some positive returns from that.
Yeah, the impacts are far-reaching for sure, as you mentioned, Brad. They're not just localized to where these fires are. Right. Talking with 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins on today's Coho Morning Show. By the way, we will have Kim Schreier on the air with us a week from Thursday. She's with us on the first Thursday of every month. So look forward to chatting with her more about this from the federal level coming up then. Real quick, Brad, because I got to let you get going here in a few minutes. I just wanted to talk about law enforcement. This is also a very hot-button issue right now. Lots of sweeping legislation passed here in Washington State related to police reform over the course of the last legislative sessions. That's all gone into effect now, and we're hearing about some different agencies around the state, none here in our jurisdictions locally, but some around the state that are going so far as making at least announcements that we're going to stop, you know, ticketing. We're going to stop stopping people for traffic infractions or even enforcing traffic until we know exactly what to do. That seems to me like more of a political stance, perhaps, or some kind of a buckle rather than maybe something that they would actually do. But that's got to be alarming to a lot of citizens out there. So this is an enormous issue. We don't have much time to start digesting it. But just where do you stand on this right now, Brad? And I guess ways that you're looking for an ability to help the citizens of Washington, citizens of Chelan and Douglas counties, District 12 in particular, you know, with this issue.
Yeah, big, big issues, a lot of legislation, sweeping legislation, as you mentioned. I voted against those bills, not because I didn't believe in the spirit of some of those things, but, you know, all of the details, all of the things that were prohibited, I think really sort of undercuts the people who are trying to protect us. The good news is these pieces of legislation, these new laws go into effect, and I heard your interview with Edgar Reinfeld, the city of Wenatchee, is we do have a very supportive community here, as he acknowledged, and I think that's what we can do as a community to support the people who are supporting us and protecting us, is to give them their encouragement. Sounds like they don't need any more donuts on Donut Day, but... their encouragement, I think that's the best thing we can do as residents of this community.
Yeah, well, it was really fascinating and, again, a bit unsettling to hear Edgar talk about how often in law enforcement, especially now with this package of legislation, but how often they face breaking the law to enforce the law, potentially, and how often that comes up as an officer. And you may have heard me reference yesterday in talking with Edgar, too, that I ran into former Wenatchee Police Chief Tom Robbins in Starbucks, of all places, over the weekend, and former interim East Wenatchee Police Chief Tom Robbins, and we were talking about that, and he said his biggest fear nationwide is just the loss of officers, of officer retention, that you know, the job just simply isn't worth the kind of liability that you get into individually when you take it on, even if you have a calling or conviction to do it. He's worried that there's going to be a lot of officer dropout. And Edgar said they think that retention is going to be good here, but that's got to be a concern of ours too, statewide.
Yeah, and I think over the long term, there could be some unfortunate, unintended consequences of the legislation, and you know that will remain to be seen. The good news is at the legislature, we do meet every year. And so while I didn't support those bills this year, maybe there could be some fine tuning or improvements or lessening of the adverse effects of some of those new laws, you know, in the future years. So I would imagine with the sweeping package of law enforcement reforms that was passed this last session, there will likely be some adjustments in future years.
Yeah, we would guess so too. 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins with us today here on the Coho Morning Show. Brad, appreciate the time. I'll let you get going. I'm going to get an interview with our sister station KOZI coming up down the pike. So appreciate the time. We'll talk again next month. Stay well.
Likewise. Thank you, Chris.
All right, very good. 7:48 at your hometown station, Coho 101. Heading into hour three of the Coho Morning Show here in just a few. That's going to include a chat with Joel Norman from the Wenatchee Apple Sox. Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Ready for